Astroical. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour happy fun time haha power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome back to the third hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this May Monday, the 22nd. So you'd think that when it comes to higher education options in Southeast Wisconsin, that there would be a little bit of competition between the different institutions, but with the leaky pipeline of Milwaukee area students choosing not to enroll in any kind of higher education after high school, there has been an increased effort to actually replace the culture of competition towards collaboration with each other and see if that could kind of encourage more kids who to tackle the obstacles of enrolling in higher education. And so here to talk more about that is Laura Bray, who is the Vice President of the College of Advancement and External Communications and the Executive Director of the MATC Foundation. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you. And it was funny because I asked you at the break, because B-R-A-Y, so your name actually phonetically makes sense as it rhymes with gray. My last name's B-R-E-Y. Looks like it should rhyme with the other way you can write gray, but it was randomly Bry. So much easier for you.
I thought we might have more in common than we do, but there you have it.
There you have it. So I guess before we jump into the different programs and what the collaboration looks like right now, what are some of the statistics about Milwaukee's college pipeline?
Yeah. So what's really interesting is that many people realize that there's just less people that are 18 or 17 coming into the college pipeline, just sheer demographics. And there's a lot more people because of the baby boomers leaving the workforce at the same time. And so part of the challenge that everyone in the country is facing is that just less people were born 17, 18 years ago. And so what's interesting about MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College, and in a lot of ways, the other colleges that are part of our state system, is our average age at MATC is actually 28, 29.
Interesting.
So, but we have also have a way for individuals to get right into the college coming straight out of high school. So a lot of people leave high school, may not go ahead and get a degree right away, but then they come back to MATC realizing in order for them to advance within their profession, they have to have some training. So we really try to devise strategies. And I'll give you a couple of statistics so you get a sense of it. So in the state, one of the statistics you hear is 60% of the jobs in today's economy require a degree beyond high school. In Milwaukee County, only 37% of our population has a degree beyond high school. Wow. So when you look at the workforce gap, even eliminating, you know, the challenges of having less 18-year-olds, just our sheer population, it's 130,000 people that with some training really could help both with their families and get better better earnings, but also help to fill the jobs that are there. Another statistic that was done by a partner organization called Milwaukee Succeeds, they looked at the graduating class of all schools in the Milwaukee area in 2012, 13, and 14. And they looked at how many ended up graduating and completing their post-secondary degree, so either associate's degree or bachelor's. In Milwaukee in 2014, it was only 14%, whereas statewide, it was 41%.
Wow.
So it gives you a sense of we're really needing to have, even though there's a smaller population, we have to make sure we're throwing everything to support those students, either directly out of high school or as they work in the workforce to get them back in school.
And so what do you attribute that discrepancy, that huge 14 to 41% discrepancy?
Yep. I mean, there are a lot of challenges in the Milwaukee, in many families in Milwaukee. And, you know, we have some of the biggest gaps in terms of equity gaps in the nation.
Yeah.
And that goes all the way, you know, we're really trying to look as a group, and I'll talk a little bit more about M-Cubed, but the thought is there's such an emphasis right now on creating better systems from cradle to career, so that we're really walking alongside individuals throughout that. Because a lot of the students that we are working with grew up in generational poverty, or they've been told that they're not college material, when really college material and career material, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, people who have come here again and again and said, I might not have been a successful student. And we say, welcome, open our doors wide, because what we find is the kind of support that we're able to give, the one-on-one assistance, the faculty and our retention coaches and others, start to build a confidence in a student to say, you know what, I can do this. And as a lot of times, the things that are coming at individuals that are growing up in difficult situations, that they aren't given the pathway, or they're not given the examples around them. So there's so much complexity with what leads to that number, but we're really focused on trying to eliminate some of those real gaps.
Our guest is Laura Bray. She's the Vice President of the College Advancement and External Communications and Executive Director for MATC Foundation. And we're talking about Wisconsin higher education institutions going from competing with each other towards collaboration with each other.
And so it's funny that you say that, as far as the I've been told that I wasn't college material, because I think there's so much, and I certainly came from the family and I didn't go to college right away, but the idea of when you can just focus, when you have the privilege, the luxury of just focusing on school in high school versus having to work versus having to take care of younger siblings versus having just family stuff at home that you're taking care of that distracts you from getting all A's, and somehow that gets conflated with you're not smart enough to go to college, which is so not true. It's just that. Yeah. School takes work, and sometimes your attention is divided, and not every kid has to deal with that. And so it's important to keep that in mind as far as who feels like they're college material and why do they think that?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to underscore is, I know, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for like advanced placement, and Milwaukee has always been a strong international baccalaureate. We have mm-hmm. several high schools that use an international baccalaureate system, where they're able to have a lot of individuals that get access to college credit early. And one of our president's kind of guiding principles is, why does AP just have to be for those that are at a certain level? Why can't we make early college more accessible to everybody? And so we have partnerships like with Milwaukee Public Schools and with UWM through this thing we called M-Cubed. And it really aligns our three systems together, where students that are coming from MPS have options to take college courses earlier. And it isn't as dependent upon their GPA. It's about their like excitement for the potential of a career. And what we've seen students do is they've come in and they might have been a so-so student or whatever that means. And they come in and they're like completing their nursing, practical nursing technical diploma before they even walk across the stage at their high school.
What?
And they're so Oh, yeah. That happened multiple times. In fact, we had two people that just completed this year. Last year, we had someone got national recognition for that work. And it's like, getting involved in something that's practical, that's career-based, starts to cinch up, oh, I get why I'm having to learn math. I understand the applications for science and my English class. And, you know, like when people talk about customer service and I'm working a job where I'm, you know, working at Culver's, I get the transition to careers because I have more practical experience to a career, not just. So we're trying to create more and more of those opportunities. communities. And a great example is this College Connections program that we built through this MQ partnership. So I'll just tell you, we started it and the participation has grown from 32 students to 152. And the graduates, check this out, have saved more than $1.5 million in college tuition by completing those credits while still in high school. So they're able to take college credits here at MATC or UWM, and they're able to do it in three pathways, where it's just healthcare. There's one for people that want to become educators so they can start to work on their education degree, which we need more educators.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then the third one is just to start to knock out your college prerequisites so that it can transfer anywhere. So we're trying to like fast track people through those kind of programs.
So what does it take to qualify if you're a high school student and you find out about this program? You said it's not like AP courses where it's a grade or anything like that. So like for kids who are teenagers, who find out about this, like what does it take to get involved?
Yep, I might have to, can you ask me a different question?
We'll bring that question back on the other side of the break because we have to go back and, so you'll have 2 minutes to tell me what it is.
Excellent.
But as far as, so let's do that. Let's, because I would love the couple questions I'm still interested in is how kids can get involved. And I guess also just the history of like, because this, the collaboration started in 2014. It's been going on for about 10 years, right?
It has. And then 2017 is really when we started to supersize it with a lot of much more formal programming. But yeah, it's been really important for our entire community.
Absolutely. So our guest is Laura Bray, who's the Vice President of the College Advancement and External Communications at MATC and also the Executive Director of MATC Foundation. And when we come back, we'll have some more questions or answers about M-Cubed, the program that is a combination of UWM, Milwaukee Public Schools, and Milwaukee Area Technical College. If you have any questions about the program, feel free to text us 844-967-2789, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard, hoping to.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Laura Bray from MATC, talking about M-Cube, which is a program that is a collaboration between UWM, MATC, and MPS as far as helping more Milwaukee area kids get college credit and enroll in higher education, both to help themselves, but also to help our workforce. Because if you listen to this show, you are already acutely aware that we have a labor shortage in a lot of different fields. And so a lot of these jobs that need higher education, we need people to be taking that coursework and fulfilling those careers. And so I had asked before the break, Laura, as far as how the kids, like if you're in, so you're going to an MPS school, you hear about this program, what does it take to actually get involved?
Yep. So I'm going to tell you this, that tomorrow, I just looked on the website, is the deadline to apply.
Okay.
So if you are a parent of an MPS student who is a junior and on track to graduate, in during their senior year. This is what they can have. You have to, there's a soft recommendation that students have a 2.75 GPA, and that's the beauty of it. It's a soft recommendation. Okay. So these students are students that are doing well, they're passing their courses, but they don't have to be a 4.0. The general pathway program is the one that the deadline is tomorrow. And it's a full senior year program with the opportunity to earn up to 21 credits in core subject areas. And it's just broken into their course day. And so we've kind of figured that out how to do it. So I just want to alert people to that. And the other piece is, and I can send you this so you could put it on your website, there's a new program for summer of 23 where we have MPS education internships. So those that are interested, current juniors that want to explore the possibility of education, there is a opportunity to apply for that as well. So you can like get in right away. So it's a really great program and a great partnership.
And so how does it, so is it just basically once you're in the program, if there's any, some of the requirements you would have had left on your, to take classes you needed to take in order to graduate from high school, some of these just replace those?
I believe so. So that's something that, you know, there's a Q&A and all mm-hmm. that information, but basically they've designed it in a way that that you're able to get some of your high school things met while earning credit, college credit. And, so, and there's no cost to students.
That's what I was reading. So it's basically, and in the collaboration, it's like the school, so the MPS program pays for lunches and a couple of things. MATC pays for bus passes. So it's even like a shared cost before the institute, between the institutions,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep.
Which is so it's so interesting to me because I feel like the bigger conversation across the state, like we've talked to people from MIT for the technical college system. We've talked to people from the UW system, and some campuses are closing. Some campuses are trying to figure out how do we get, everyone's trying to figure out enrollment. Everyone's trying to figure out labor shortage. And it's like, this seems like such a great program as far as other areas across the state starting to implement this, as far as for students who think of college as something else, think of it as a four-year institution, think of it as academia, think of it as something that's like, I don't like school. And I think what you were saying in the last segment, as far as making it practical, making it uh-huh. applicable, making it like you put your hands on something that feels like, oh, I know I need to be able to know how to write and have my grammar be correct because I have to send emails to people and have them understand what I'm trying to say. And so it's the actual application of the things we learn in high school that start to make a lot more sense versus I'm just supposed to learn this because they told me to. And yep. so what do you think the room is like to replicate this program or... in general, I guess, as someone who this is your career, like, how do we continue to expand access to education?
Well, that's been a huge emphasis here. You know, our tuition is definitely like a third of the cost yeah. of a lot of other paths in terms of higher education, but we still find that people find it a huge gap. That 14%, you've got to believe that there is something in terms of people don't have access. And so we've actually implemented two scholarships. One is we have this free tuition program called the MATC Promise. But the other one is brand new, and it's the Chakota Scholarship, where they fund full ride education for short-term degrees, so those that can be completed within a year. And I got to tell you, we have an opportunity where they, if for every dollar donated to that new scholarship, they will match it with $2. So it's wow. Ellen and Joe Chakota. And so there's information on at matc.edu/scholarships, and you can find out all the information there if you want to apply or if you want to donate to this really, really unique full ride scholarship to remove financial barriers.
That is awesome. I'll put matc.edu/scholarships. Any other information, Laura, you want to send me to put on our website, absolutely shoot it over.
Awesome.
Because
thanks.
This is the kind of innovation I feel like we need as far as like collaboration, innovation of institutions working together and actually collaborating to make like a bunch of win-win scenarios. And so I'm so happy we get to spend time talking to you today, Laura.
It was great to meet you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to maybe hear your stories as far as some of the best or worst wedding catering you've experienced. And how would you feel if you were served Chili's? Yes, Chili's. Or I guess we could do Applebee's or TGI Fridays.
Sure. Culver's.
At a wedding. Would you like it? Get some chicken fingers? All right, we're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go. Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. Long live rock and roll. The beat of the drums loud.
Chili's at our wedding, and this is how much we spent. Our total cost for our wedding food was $1,950 for 99 guests. This also includes 5 specialty meals that we did for people who were gluten-free, dairy-free, aka me, and people who needed like special items like no dairy at all, only seafood, etc. So let's talk about what went into serving Chili's at our wedding. First of all, we loved the price point. I mean, you really can't beat that price point. Like, you just can't. It's insane that we only spent that much money for our wedding food. But we did have to do a lot of work on the back end that we weren't really expecting.
What did you serve at your wedding? 844-967-2789. And I'm sure, depending on your age, how much it cost would be, there's going to be a huge discrepancy.
Absolutely.
But that clip came from a TikToker named Madison Mulkey, who posted a video that has ignited a bit of a debate on wedding fare and staff compensation. But in the video, as you started to hear, Mulkey explains how she pulled off major savings in her for her wedding by catering the reception with takeout from Chili's.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, yeah, I've had some bad wedding food, so maybe, you know, Chili's could be pretty good.
I feel like Chili. I mean, there were other options, as she mentioned. They made some accommodations, but as she also mentioned, they did have to take on some extra work themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So here she is explaining that.
We had to pick it up pretty early because we didn't want to pay for the delivery fees. And it was St. Patrick's Day weekend in Savannah, Georgia, which is where near where we got married. And they were packed. They were so busy and they had to have it ready earlier in the day, which is okay with us. But we had to have someone pick up the food and take it all the way to our venue. We had to have my aunt, who thankfully works in food service, or we would have been SOL, set it all up, write specific sticky notes, show everyone how to warm things, to cook things appropriately so no one got sick. And that was just a lot more work than we had anticipated. Normally when you order from Chili's, they deliver it, they bring it, they set it all up, it's already made, people can just serve. But for reference, we picked up the food at 11 and we weren't serving the food until 6. So we had some time in there. We had to keep things cold, and then we had to have our hired like servers who were really supposed to be like cleaning, serving, preparing, really do a lot of the cooking. And my coordinator kind of had to show them what to do and take on a role that she wasn't really supposed to do, and they weren't supposed to do either, but everyone made it work, thank goodness.
Isn't it, it's not cooking, it's called heating.
I think.
The food is cooked.
But I also, I'm interested in how, so if you got it at 11 and was already cooked, how was it still good at 6?
Well, you refrigerate it. You keep it refrigerated until about 4:30. And then you put it in those big warming trays and you let it warm up.
And like, I
had to, you had to teach people how to do that? Who are you hanging around with?
Well, no, it was staff.
It was staff.
It was staff.
Right.
And so you seem very skeptical about this, Jane.
Well, there's a couple things that I think are applicable Because if I was going to, if I wanted to do this as fiscally responsibly as possible, I don't know if shorting the guests is the right way to do it. You could get a lesser cake because cakes can be ridiculously expensive. So can flowers, can be ridiculously expensive. I think there are other places where you could cut corners. If you expect people to give you a $150 wedding gift and you're feeding them takeout from Chili's, I can see where some people might be annoyed by that.
But what if you, I mean, you could also just as easily get a caterer who it's more expensive and the food's just as bad.
Granted. But then at least the guests aren't going to go, well, the guests will say, God, that was terrible. What an awful caterer. Instead of going, God, they really cheaped out on food and went to Chili's.
So what did you have at your wedding?
We had a buffet. I think we had chicken and some kind of beef. And then we didn't get a cake because I think it's a ridiculous waste of money. So we had a dessert bar instead of a cake.
Okay.
It was my wedding. I didn't eat that much anyway.
Yeah.
And from what I heard, everything was fine. But that was one thing that we didn't. We had an open bar.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think there's an expectation, but at the same time, you want these kids to be able to afford to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to, you know, spending $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 on a wedding is insane.
How much did you just say?
$15,000, $20,000, $25,000.
You know that's like,
is that the low end now?
That's what, like, we spent, like, the fact that we got away with spending, like, $20,000 on our, like, our small wedding. Photographers alone are $6,000, Jade.
Oh, see, and I got mine real cheap.
Like, I think you just had the reaction my mother had after years of going to other people's weddings and coming up with all the ideas that she had for my wedding, her only daughter. And then we got to the wedding planning, and Mike and I were like, this is the budget we're going to stay within. And the limitations that creates is like people, like, I think the way you just said, like, how do you spend 15? People spend like 75, 100 grand on wedding these
days.
Yeah,
and that's lunacy.
And so, but like, there's also, depending on what you're going to do, like, there's no way around it. Like this is what we did for our wedding. And that's what we, I mean, I'll just be honest, of what we got for $20,000. And this is with Mike being an event planner for the last 15 years.
Who had all the connections.
Who had connections. So we had, we stayed overnight at the Pfister, just the two of us. My dress. But the actual ceremony was 15 people at Sanger Gardens, which we got for like $500. So the venue itself that we actually got married at was $500, okay, which is cheap. We had a videographer, we had a photographer. We probably didn't need both, but our photographer specifically was incredible. So I don't regret that money. Then we met up for drinks at the Mac with some of our close friends. Then we went to dinner with the same 15 people who were at the ceremony.
What did you pay per plate? Do you remember? For 15 people, that's not many.
150, 175.
A plate?
Yeah.
Could you eat the plates?
Yes, we all ate.
Okay.
And then we rented out a bar and had an open bar. And we had some food there. We had like late night pizzas, which people definitely ate. But because we had told, you know, it started at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So most people ate dinner before they came, and there was some finger food there, but we did have an open bar and we had a DJ. And that was like, we didn't go over the top, but that was on purpose. And so, like, weddings are expensive. Like, you know, some of the comments I saw in that video, like, you can spend $10,000 just feeding people.
Wow.
And so, to a certain extent, if the food tastes the same, and if it was from Chili's or some other caterer, I don't have a problem with the how much she spent on it. Because I didn't care about buying, spending money on food because I never remember the food at weddings.
I agree with you.
And so, but like, so often with our industry, like our in like the wedding industry mindset, like they have you. And so they like gouge you.
Well, and they can sell you on all kinds of useless trinkets that you're never, those, you know, personalized matches, personalized napkins, all of that kind of stuff can really add up. And I have bad news for you. People throw them away.
They do not hold on to them.
No, they don't. So and even the little favors that you take with you is a, I think that's a waste.
But so I'm interested for you listening. What did you serve at your wedding? 844-967-2789 if you're willing to share how much you spent, but also what year was it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know, if you have a wet, if you're planning on feeding people and you have 50 to 150 people at your wedding, what options do you actually have to spend $2,000 on feeding 99 people?
See, and it being Wisconsin, I've always been kind of surprised that no one has come up with the concept of potluck weddings. It would be oh my gosh. Wisconsin. Everyone just brings a dish. And then you don't have to bring a gift. Someone will bring the fluffy fruit, the fluffy jello salad. And someone will bring, you know, their favorite tuna casserole and brownies.
I bet someone has done that on like a small scale wedding, but as a big, like 100 person thing, it's harder for me to imagine that happening. But I don't hate it. I don't hate that idea. You just have to make sure you have enough variety of things.
True.
Only, everyone's got a sign-up sheet.
Only so many fluffy jello salads. They go a long way.
But yeah, I'm interested to hear what did you serve at your wedding? And if you want to share how much it costs, just because, as we just exampled in real time, I think that there is a big discrepancy now between generations of how much people understand weddings to cost, to the like the different parts of weddings and how much they cost these days if you want to kind of have a more traditional wedding. And so like I'm not mad at her for going to Chili's. I just brought up the question as far as like what do you serve people like these days and then not get totally gouged, especially because I stand by the fact that no one remembers the food.
Yeah, I think you're right. 844-967-2789. What did you serve at your wedding? Or is there a memorable meal you had at a wedding that was spectacular? Or are you like Chris and I and you never remember that stuff? Mark from the SAC is joining us. Hey, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what, but I can't even remember what we had at my wedding. That's was divorced, you know, 7 years later. So, but I mean, we do, there's potluck funerals. They do potlucks at funerals.
That's
Why not do potlucks at weddings? I mean, they used to do that, I think, years ago. That's probably what they did, is when people had a wedding that everybody would bring a dish to pass to celebrate the new couple, and people didn't worry about it. I mean, that I can remember years ago, churches having potlucks all the time to raise money or groups, you know, and then some of that food was pretty good. I mean, is at least as good as some of the stuff I served at weddings I've been to, so.
Definitely.
No problem. You know.
It's probably now, Mark, it's probably more of an issue of health. Mm. And good heavens, what if someone gets sick from Aunt Verna's tuna casserole? And then we're really going to have issues. So I would imagine that might be the sticky part of having potluck weddings. But I just think it just seems so Wisconsin to me.
So Wisconsin.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
And I guess if you do it in a backyard, you could get away with that.
You know, a barbecue-y kind of thing.
But that's another way that they get you. Because if you pick an event, certain events will only let you cater from certain places.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's tied to like some where the ownership, either the relationship they have with another caterer or they own the catering company. So
right.
You can only use this. This is the food that you have to use.
And
if you're going to get here. And they got you.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, I don't, for her, like, it's like if you get it, fine. I just was interested as like what other creative solutions could people come up with to feed their guests at their weddings. Like ours, I think I liked how we did it. We were because yesterday was 9 months since our wedding. And so Mike and I were talking about it and I was like, I liked what we did for our wedding.
Oh, that's what matters.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What did you serve at your wedding? 2012, venue was a community center, $500, I think. 90% of the 40 to 50 attendees were family. We did potluck style.
There you go.
We had a video photographer team and a DJ. Overall, I think we got away with it for $2,500.
Wow.
Maybe less.
Good for you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. 50 people. I'm assuming that's not including the dress.
I don't know.
Although maybe it was something off the rack.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a swing towards that direction, just because weddings have gotten so out of control.
Seriously.
and this vision. And like, that's the thing that always came back to me is like, it need, you know, this idea that it needs to be perfect or it needs to be Instagrammable or whatever, of just like, and it goes so quickly.
Yes.
And then it's just, and it just becomes another day. Like, it's a magical day and you get your photo books made out of it and it's wonderful. And well, hopefully it's wonderful. But it's also like, it's one day. And that's a lot of money to spend.
It is a lot of money. And I will, at least from my experience, and again, we got away with a really inexpensive photographer who was a neighbor to one of my sisters. Anyway, the vast majority of those pictures are still in a bag. I got a bunch in frames. We have thousands of pictures that I'm never going to put into a book. I've never looked at them.
You never look at them?
No.
That's sad. You should look at them this weekend. When's your anniversary?
It's in September.
Do it in September. Go through the pictures, Jane.
All of them?
Some of them.
Okay, I'll go through some.
All right.
I'm such a sentimental.
If you would like to join the conversation, what did you serve at your wedding? Or what's the best or worst meal you've had at a wedding? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute.
The food was amazing, and other people said so too. I mean, they could have been lying to us, but we had chicken tenders, sliders, we had egg rolls, chips and salsa, Cajun chicken pasta, we had salad. I mean, it was the perfect meal for our wedding. I'm so happy we chose Chili's.
See? Her guests were happy.
That's what they told her.
I'm just saying.
You don't think there were a couple ants behind
her? You don't think those ants would have been doing that no matter what?
You're probably right.
I mean, I feel like the people who are judgy about wedding food are going to be judgy about something no matter what happens.
Well, and I certainly hate to think of young couples starting out $30,000 in debt.
It's hard enough to buy a house.
Well, and I'm assuming there's school debt and there might be car loans. And so, yeah. And as you said, who remembers the food? Unless it was really, really terrible.
See, I do think people, maybe this is the Wisconsin of me, I do think people remember whether or not there was an open bar.
Oh.
More than they remember if there was food. They remember if there was food or no food, but they don't remember how good the food was or what was served, but they will remember if there was an open bar or not.
Ding, 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 ding. I think you're right on the nose with that one. Yes.
Because that becomes another thing as far as there's a whole other etiquette conversation to be had as far as open bar, cash bar. How long do you have the open bar? Do you just do beer and wine, but cocktails? Like, so our one rule, mostly because we just know who our friends are, was that it was an open bar besides shots.
No shots.
So our friend, we have one friend who is a bit of a party animal, who, even though we had an open bar, but no shots, somehow managed to rack up a $350 bill at our wedding because he was buying so many tequila shots that he's the only person who walked away with like multiple hundreds of dollars of a bill because he kept buying shots. And that was the one thing he couldn't get for free.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. What did you serve at your wedding? Is there a wedding that just had spectacular food that you will never forget? Travis joining us from Pierce County. Hey, Travis, thanks. What do you want to say?
Hey, well, one thing, my wife and I got married 18 years ago at Lambeau Field.
Nice!
And yeah, back then it was reasonable. Now I can't even imagine how much it costs. But we spent with food. We had 130 people, and it was about $22 a plate.
$22 bucks a plate.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So.
And was it? I mean, how was the food, Travis? Do you remember?
Back then, it was amazing. So, we went with chicken breasts and stuff, and the food was great. Beer was a little expensive, but that's always gonna be.
Which did you go with, Miller? So. What kind of? Do you remember what kind of beer you had?
Well, of course.
Of course.
Is there any other?
Touche. Touche.
So, all I can say is we went through our first half barrel between the wedding and the start of dinner. So
nice.
And it was fun.
How many more half barrels were drank after the dinner?
Only two.
Okay.
So
that's a respectable Wisconsin wedding.
We're done by 10, so.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for the call, Travis.
Really appreciate it, Travis. Thank you. 844-967-2789 if you want to check in. What did you serve at your wedding? What did it cost? We only got a couple minutes left.
I have one message on the YouTube live stream from Paul. We did buffet style, but what killed us was Wisconsin health code doesn't allow packing up buffet leftovers, but plated meals can be.
What?
That's weird.
That is weird. So if it's served at the table, I can get a doggy bag for my leftovers, but if it's from the buffet, I can't do that?
Yeah, that's weird.
That is
so it's just like that
odd.
food goes to waste.
What a shame.
We have so much waste in our country with food. So this I got this one on Twitter. We had a chili bar at our wedding. We found a caterer who replicated my dad's family recipe.
Oh, that's great.
The meal was in honor of my dad who had passed several years ago, along with a separate vegetarian option. I don't remember the exact cost, but it was inexpensive compared to other catering options, and people loved the theme. The food itself was fun. The food itself and fun topping options, jalapenos, goldfish crackers, etc.
Sure.
While there may have been some diabetes. Oh, debates, not diabetes. Read slower. While there may have been some debates, no physical altercations over whether or not you should eat noodles in it.
Oh, noodles.
Sorry.
That can be a very contentious issue.
I know. People get
noodles and chili. Look out.
That's a great idea. See, and I think that's memorable then.
Without a doubt.
Right? Like doing something that is
personal,
nostalgic,
yes.
A tradition of some sort. Like, then, like, no one's going to complain then.
Right.
Besides whether or not you should have it with noodles. But, like, that's the kind of stuff, at least for, like, my heartstrings, that, like, always go that option as far as something that is
sentimental
versus we need to have the best food or good enough food or it needs to be a plated or buffet or whatever.
Right.
Like something like that. Like that's a really great idea.
That is a great idea. Very clever. And as you said, very personal, very memorable. Just that's cool all the way around.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Monday show.
Flew by.
Done.
It flew.
In the books.
Yes.
Trying to think if we have anything.
We have Brewers tickets tomorrow.
We do have Brewers tickets for tomorrow.
Yep.
Brewers tickets for Thursday's game.
Yes.
And against the San Francisco Giants. And so if you would like to win some tickets and you have not won in the last 30 days, not just on our show, but on any Civic Media show.
And we keep a list.
And we do keep a list. Listen to tomorrow's show. Maybe we'll do a trivia question. Maybe we'll have you tell a story. Maybe we'll just give it to the first caller. It depends on how we're feeling. But so tune in tomorrow for Brewers tickets.
Going to talk about childcare in Wisconsin.
Yes, that's going to be an ongoing theme, I think,
yep.
for a while.
Yep.
But and then also Turning Whey, her curds and whey.
W-H-E-Y.
W-H-E-Y, you know, the thing that comes from dairy
mm-hmm.
into plastics.
I'm so excited to talk
Science.
To him.
Science, Jane.
I am so excited to talk to him about this. I really am.
I am too. All right. Well, great show today. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and maybe Brian. We'll see. It's always a gamble.
It's a mystery.
Or the Chad Holmes show. But otherwise, we will see you back here tomorrow at 11. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, Cadillac car. Mink coats, des bijoux, jusqu'au cou, tu sais. C'est bon, ces petites sensations. Peut-être quelqu'un avec un petit yacht, non? Ah, oh, c'est bon. C'est bon, c'est bon. Vous savez bien que j'attendrai quelqu'un qui pourrait m'apporter beaucoup de loot. Ce soir, demain, la semaine prochaine, n'importe quand. C'est bon, si bon. Il sera très... crazy, non? Voilà, c'était...
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.